answer. But besides that, I should also inquire myself whether my actions will be pleasing to the Lord or it will be displeasing. So therefore, this is observing regulative principles, the principles, sadhana, or this austerity, this tapasya, discipline, that comes into action. I should always ask myself whether my service, my activity will be pleasing to the Lord or to my spiritual master or not. So in this way, one will have an answer. So the answer is coming internally, or maybe through the medium of other of my well wishes, that please do this, that it will please me. So in this way, you always get the answer to questions, to one's own internal questions. So in this way, we make progress in my activity in Krishna consciousness. And it, then that way you can steady. Because otherwise, our minds are very flickering. Otherwise, so many temptations are coming. Mind is dragging, go there, go to Hawaii, go to Bali, go to different directions. And so then I should ask whether my going there is going to be pleasing to my Guru Maharaj or to the Lord, what type of service I'm going to do there. If it's going to be pleasing, if it is recommended by those agents, servants, then I should do it. But if it's not, then I should restrain myself. I should control myself. And that is done by intelligence. Intelligence. So that is the Buddha Yoga. So this Buddha Yoga, this intelligence, is not able to direct the mind properly. Then that's the problem for that particular jivatma. So in this way, if you take shelter of the advanced devotees or the spiritual master, and so in this way, when I have difficulty, then I inquire, I take the instructions, take the directions, so that my actions should be properly conducted. So that's the spirit of Krishna consciousness. And you say surrender to the Lord, but how do I surrender then? How do I? Because it is rather easy to say, you do this, you do that. But then how can I follow that? How can I, voluntarily, spontaneously, I want him to follow, I want him to do it. But how do I come to that stage? I may do it for one day, but the next day if I again, interact in the unwanted activities, but how do I control that? So therefore, to become very steady in my plan, in my action, in my preparation, to make advancement in my journey in Krishna consciousness, to remain steady in spite of many, many difficulties, ups and downs. To prepare that is the key to success, to key to complete my journey. And so our Prabhupada used to say that we should that preparation finish in this lifetime, because this human form of life, we are not sure whether we'll get it again. So, but now you know that you got this human form of life. So, Mr. said you complete it in this lifetime. In this very lifetime, you prepare, you make enough preparation so that as soon as you leave this body, then you are properly reaching your destination. And, so, this human form of life is a special mission. So, the special mission is to cultivate spiritual knowledge, that one does not again entangle in the cycles of this material world, birth and death, and finish once and for all. And so if one has that commitment and the conviction and the strong desire to do that, then the possibilities always there, it's open. Therefore it is the freedom that we have, the free will. And if the free will is used properly in the service of the Lord, then get my destination goal. But if it is misused, then again, I will be put into the cycles of circling into this material world. But then the choice is ours. So therefore, that's it. Krishna says, Tesam sarata yuktana bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenama upayanti. It is very clear that to the degree that you surrender to him, to the degree that you render seva to him, to that degree Krishna will respond. So that means, suppose if I am not wanting to become Krishna conscious, if I am wanting to remain circled in this material world, then that facility is there. That's because of my misuse of my freedom, my free will. But then if I become serious by the mercy of the Lord and by the mercy of the devotees, if I become very serious and wanting to overcome these these dangers of this material, circling this material, that is also possible. So then the choice is ours, whether I want to remain in this way or whether I am in that way, that is there. And, so this is the beauty in Krishna consciousness. When Krishna says to Arjuna, I have given you the lesson, the now you act, whether you want to fight or not to fight, it's up to you. But I have given him my opinion. So Krishna also doesn't interfere the freedom, the mind and freedom of the individual. It is up to us, it is up to the individual to make a choice. But then we should make the right choice. That's the purpose of coming to a spiritual culture. That's the purpose of accepting that coming to Prabhupada's movement. So in this way we'll make progress in spiritual life. And also, we also like to see that everyone, all the living entities, become inspired. It's not only for the individual, the person, because the Vaishnava is always concerned about the well-being of others also, living entities. So in this way, the Vaishnava is always much happier when the others, he is not so much concerned about himself, but he is much more happier when he sees that other living entities are free from difficulties. So in this way, that's like Narada Muni, he goes from planet to planet, always singing and reminding the living entities that to become Krishna conscious. And he doesn't care, he doesn't, whether somebody chastises him, but he only requires that please develop Krishna consciousness and be happy. So like that. So in this way, that is the spirit of pure Vaishnava. Always concerned about the well-being of others. So in Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, that the services that we have, the services that Guru Maharaj Prabhupada designed, is for the well-being of not only human beings, but for all of us, for all the living entities. Because Nama Sankirtan, in the age of Kali, Kali Kaler Dharma Nama Sankirtan. The Tamrita says, in the age of Kali, that the real religious principle is to be engaged in the chanting of Mahamantra. So as we have big festivals, maybe in Hawaii, in San Francisco, and in the parade, we have a very nice chanting in a team, and the devotees Sankirtan, with the mridangas and nice kartals and the large numbers of living entities, and they hear about Mahamantra. That way they get a benefit. Even by hearing without knowing it, meaning, one gets the benefit. So there are so many living entities. And especially in Hawaii, there are so many tourists coming from different parts of the world. And so they are seeing the Hare Krishna devotees maybe on the street or on the beach. So in this way, they even seeing a Vaishnava is very, it has a very important effect. As seeing Vaishnava dress like this, and then one gets the benefit by seeing a Vaishnava. And so in this way, it's automatically good service rendered. So in this way, the society is doing benefit. It's all beneficial. Anyone who comes, even for one day, it is beneficial to the individual. 5 days, even if so, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever, you know. Any so everything is say, even if so, the accumulates is the importance of gets accumulated. Some people that come for a little short time, and because of other circumstances, they have to go away. But even then, they're all benefited. Because in the next life, and accumulate. And from the point that you left, we left. And from that point, we start again, Krishna consciousness. So it is never lost. But if you can remain steady, that is better. Not getting entangled again in this material world. So that's the spirit of Krishna consciousness. So I will end here. Anybody has any questions?
What happened? Because Krishna consciousness is an eternal path. Because Krishna consciousness is an eternal path, and there's no loss or demolition. And any advancement is always it's like a spiritual bank account, right? But what happens if somebody's not ready to fully surrender themselves? And what if somebody can't because material desires become steady and give their all in all? What advice do you have?
Sure, that's right.
You know, Krishna consciousness is not an easy path.
Yeah.
Not everybody can fully dedicate themselves 100%. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
What advice
do
you have?
Yeah, that's so. The instruction from this sloka, what we get is that so this is therefore it is a question of using my freedom, my free will. So in the age of Kali, especially, it is not it is rather not very easy to control the senses. So in order to make it a little more practical, we say that throughout the whole day that one should remain busy. Busy means this can be called a spiritual technology. Where suppose if one is doing, let's say, some business or was working as a lawyer, that so the consciousness should be in such a way that you know, by that service, if one can always somehow, you know, think about, you know, how to please the Lord, how I can become a little more sincere in serving the Lord, the Lord's mission. So if I can meditate, if I can develop that type of attachment in my even day to day work. In other words, 24 hours, even resting, you're thinking about how can I render, you know, the service level, so that will be pleasing to the Lord. So in this way, if one is able to, you know, to channelize one's activities, then one will be properly situated. It's like when Krishna says, whatever you eat, whatever you do, whatever you give away, so you do it as a service to me, to the Lord. So if that consciousness is developed and then maintaining one's, you know, discipline, that means the sadhana, and so if this goes on and continuously, then definitely it will be the person will make progress, and then he will not, or he or she will not be into difficulty. Even if it's working in some odd jobs, but if one remains, one consciousness remains fixed in that direction. But then, you know, the difficulty is that when one does not have proper association, then because the mind is very weak, for a weak person, then it may not be very easy to remain, you know, strong because of the influence of other factors. So if one can become strong and be able to overcome, let's say, the temptations or the influences of other forces, and one is situated properly, and so that this is the you know, the key how I should remain fixed, or how should I remain unaffected by the temptations of the mind and the influences of other negative forces. And so that's the that's the main point.
Isn't this just like going to school? I mean, because it is an eternal path. I mean, well, eventually all graduate, but some will graduate just sooner than others, right? According to their desire, right?
Hmm. Yeah, so, supposed to graduate,
yeah,
but then, yeah.
One step toward Krishna, Krishna takes 1,000 toward you. Right?
Mm. So then, here Krishna says, Tesam satyutana, vasadam pritipurvakam, dadami buddhiyomi. To the degree that your whole mind and the body and the words are engaged in the service of the Lord, to the degree, means if I am not fully engaged, then I will get, I will not be getting the whole the whole intelligence engaged in the service of the Lord. So it's basically up to the individual. And the individual is always thinking how to please the Lord and how I should make progress, always begging for the mercy of the Lord. And so in this way, because there's no end, there's no end actually of this mercy and all, there's no end of this knowledge. And so it is always, but at least it will be a stepping stone, it will be make progress. It will be further, the consciousness will become higher and higher in one's the development. So this way one gets more and more inspired, and one also gets more and more enthusiastic. These are the symptoms that one is making. One can see that whether I'm wanting it to do service or not, that way there will be some internal feeling, whether I'm enthusiastic or whether I'm... So that actually there is a certain symptoms that come in the when we are preparing, that if I become, let's say, I'm feeling that in spite of certain difficulties, still internal, suppose I feel that enthusiastic, then at least see that at least like the consciousness is making at least some headway. Yeah.
I feel sometimes that there is or maybe how I feel is that there is a duty, also a duty as a mother, as a wife, as a that plane, and also a spiritual duty to Krishna. There's two things, but that sometimes, well, sometimes every day, I try to balance it. There is a lot of frustrations that come between those two, because you can't completely give up your material endeavors because of responsibilities of family and the responsibility of just of a family, that you become a grihastha and you have certain duties towards those children, materially and spiritually as well. But and then there is that eternal duty that is calling you and is saying, just surrender to me. it's sometimes I have the feelings that one is the one that I need to follow, and another times is the other one that I feel that I need to follow. It always wins my responsibility, but sometimes it's just it's a little bit confusing in the sense.
But if you are acting in Krishna consciousness, there is no conflict. Say you have a duty, let's say, to take care of the child. And that is also the part of Krishna consciousness. If you are thinking the child is also a servant of the Lord, and so then as a mother, it is also my duty to make sure that the child is becoming Krishna conscious. I should pray for the mercy of the Lord that the child becomes a sincere servant, a sincere devotee. But then you are doing your duty because the child is not capable of doing certain. So you are helping your heart in order to become Krishna conscious. So in this way, so this is not separate from doing the Krishna conscious service. It is a part of it. So this is called dovetailing one's service in Krishna consciousness. So that when children are born in the family of devotees, and so that is a great blessing. from the, you know, by the good karma, that the child is born in the house of a devoted family. So from the very beginning, from the when the mother, the child is in the womb of the mother, and he's already, he also is getting Krishna consciousness blessing. So in this way, when the mother becomes Krishna conscious, and the parents become Krishna conscious, and then the service that involved there are in taking care of the child, and it is also Krishna conscious. So it is not something separate. Is that?
The thing is that it goes a little bit farther. It goes a little bit farther into society as well. In Kali Yuga, again, machines and all that, the women also have jobs. So they have to deal like the same way that men deals with jobs, woman has to deal with jobs, so there's no difference right there already. Then it comes into the jobs because you are kind of pulled into the into that other systematic way of making your living and just being completely divided. It's like the soul has to divide and choose, you know, some type of work to do that it will be, you know. So you just get into a system, into a certain type of modalities. You just have to just let it go a little bit of the self-realization 100%, and then you just get caught a little bit, or at least, that's how I feel, caught into the, okay, well, we have to make a better world, and into the modality of goodness or passion or whatsoever one is more attracted to. But at times it comes like, the feeling is like, what I'm doing, you know? The demigods also have a service to Krishna, and they are serving Krishna in a different modality. I'm sure that he also has different type of technology, but it's so elevated into their modality of goodness and all that. But it's not, it's 100% bhakti Vaishnavism. So, that's what it is. You can turn too much into, okay, now that I have responsibility, now I have to also contribute with society and give them, since I obtain something material that it helps my family to be engaged in a certain way, also in physical consciousness and grow, because we have material bodies and we have to to put nutrients and we need a certain standard of living, depends upon the type of thinking or mind. It becomes very involved into the whole material thing. So what can you do about it? It's like just dragging through as more the best you can until the time that you just get old enough that you just retire from all that. How do you deal with it every single day?
So the answer,
you go back and forth, you know, that's what I'm trying to explain. It's like if I go back and forth, and it's like, gosh, I just wish I was 17.
So then do this way. So in the teachings by Kapila to Mother Devahuti, he describes about how to engage in devotional service. But there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, that the Kapila says that jnana vairagya yuktena, jnana vairagya yuktena, bhakti yuktena sattvana, paripasati udasitam, pakritim sahatau jasa. Jnana vairagya yuktena, bhakti yuktena sattvana. So actually, ultimately, our devotional service will come to this point, that one must have knowledge. You know, it's called jnana. The knowledge means the knowledge about the nature of the soul. The jiva, one must have some knowledge about the nature of the soul. The nature of the soul, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Sanatana Goswami that the jivera sarupai krishneri nityatas, that the natural situation of the living entity is to recognize that the jiva is the eternal servant of Krishna, nityatas. So this is called knowledge, jnana, knowledge. And vairaga, vairaga means renunciation. And renunciation is, and one should not be attached to the material, let's say. In other words, one should not be captivated by the external, the material, the glamour. In other words, one should be free from the conception that that something belongs to me or to the body. So in this way, jnana vairagya yuktena. So at that time, as the devotional, the spiritual devotional begin to fructify, to begin to manifest from the individual as a seeking of the truth, the sincere soul, that the bhakti will begin to manifest. And then at the paripasita mudasana, at the time, said that the soul, the jiva, can see properly, can see very clearly that what is right and what is wrong, what is to be done, and the influence of the material nature will not be able to overcome such a person. So that means, it is very clear that if I become Krishna conscious, if I am acting in Krishna consciousness, say for example, if one is say you become a mother, then you do not neglect, because you are at least at that time, in that particular situation, suppose you know, you are somehow put into that situation. That means as a Krishna conscious Mataji, you have also your responsibility in Krishna consciousness. It's like Mother Yashoda. but always thinking about how to make my child Krishna conscious and my duty in Krishna consciousness. I should not neglect that also. But then, of course, we are in a situation that when you become properly, let's say, situated, in, let's say, after the child grows up, after a certain stage, and then when the child is able to pull on, you know, on his own feet, then it is also good to meditate, that how can I fully engage in 100% without being distracted, you know, from this thing. But then when the child grows up, then you also make a plan that eventually, you know, because this material body will go one day, so therefore I also like to fully engage myself in the service of Krishna. So that is coming this by like initiation, free all from all these things. And then at that point, one can come to Vrindavan. You come to Vrindavan and stay in Radhakun and engage fully, free from all others, and then we leave the body there. So in this way, one can make some preparation and plan. But all these plans are good, because it's planning Krishna consciousness. You are not abandoning your duty artificially. You are not, because somehow you are, by the arrangement of the Lord, or by your, you know, by your free will, you know, that you have been put in that particular situation. But that in that particular situation, one should act in Krishna consciousness. In that, but either one is doing it in the business, or one is doing it in business. Because sometimes you cannot always stay in the temple. It's not possible for everyone to come and stay in the temple. But those who are not able, let's say, to let's even give, or even may not be 100%, let's say, in, you know, some devotional service, but whatever, you know, little that they can, they should do it. But they should not give it up. They should, but you should make plan to increase more. Preparation is as good as, you know, because a good preparation, actually, that will lead to, you know, you'll be able to execute it properly when the time is. So we should, in fact, our human life itself is in preparation. We are always preparing to go to back to Godhead. We are preparing. this is a preparation. There's a Krishna consciousness that we are preparing, that so that after finishing this body, so we can all, you know, fly to the spiritual sky and go there. So that way we are preparing. And any other points?
This is kind of a technological. We were saying about the Kali Yuga and having the machines and all that. Going back, demigods and having the planets, they do also have a technology, even the components of the elements that are compound, or they are composing those. That technology is of a subtle matter, isn't it? How is it?
Oh, I mean, what technology of?
Yeah, it's the technology, but it's at a level of the components. elements, or it's a different technology, it's in the space, more in a more subtle type of element, ether, air.
In the technology that they use by?
Technology that they use in this. In
by what? By demigods?
Heavenly planets.
Yeah, I mean, there are many things which are beyond our, I can say, our comprehension. It could be many other things. But we should not worry so much about them. And we should only, you know, do the practical things. It's most practical. And so in this way, it is definitely it's possible that there are many other factors which our human mind cannot grasp. But today, even in our regular, let's say, process of gathering knowledge, there are so many other, you know, like difficulties, problems that we don't have all the knowledge. But you know, these things are interesting, but may not be, you know, sometimes may not be so practical too. So I think what we should do is that we should only concentrate to those areas where we'll be able to regularly apply, and also make a sincere effort so that one overcomes these material, you know, the influences, and then be eligible to develop a full, you know, this consciousness, Krishna consciousness. And so whatever that you know, that brings one you know, to that degree, to come to that point, it should be always cultivated. And whatever that doesn't, you know, give so much support to that, should not be necessarily, you know, we shouldn't even think about it. Or we shouldn't. Yeah, because that will be, it will be unnecessary. So that Bhagavad says, dharma sanushtitaha pungsa visakshena kathasuya notpade adiratim sarma evi kevalam. He said, Bhagavad says that dharma means the duty, occupational purpose, occupational duty. So that in activity should be such that will lead me to become near to the service of the Lord, serving the Lord. But if any activity that helps me achieve that should be always taken, that should be always cultivated. But any activity that makes me far away from that, from going to the Lord, and any activity that distracts me, that should not be, let's say, in the Bhagavad says that will be wastage of time. Sarma evahi kevalam. So an intelligent person, you know, should not be distracted by those things which may not be conducive to my preparation for developing spiritual knowledge, consciousness. So this way we have to be a little more practical, because we live in the age of Kali, our brains are not very so sharp, and most of our brains are frozen. So in this way, it is not able to see everything. But at least one thing is for sure for all of us is that definitely we are not going to make any permanent in a plan for becoming happy in this age of Kali. Not only in the age of Kali, in the material world, it is not possible to have a permanent plan to become happy, isn't it? Everybody is having some type of a difficulty. Everyone will have it. So knowing that in this material world, it is not possible to have a permanent plan to become happy. So the intelligent person should make some, you know, some preparation. How to, even the richest man in this planet, and the richest man, who is the richest man in this time? in America. So I'm sure he also will have his own problem, right? There will be many problems, but sometimes unhappiness. And at least one thing is for sure, that it's not going to last very long. It'll be gone one day. So that way it's not possible to have a permanent plan to be happy. So knowing that, the material world is of that nature, and then one makes a preparation how to overcome these influences of this material world. That will be the intelligent plan for preparation. And so then the Krishna consciousness is all about that. How to make plan to go beyond this temporary the material arrangement. How to go beyond and establish the permanent, natural situation of the living entity, jivatma. So that's how Prabhupada was traveling around the world to remind this to everyone in this planet. So I was in Bali for a few days, and Bali was quite nice. There are many devotees there. And Bali, then there was a conference in Jakarta. Jakarta is the this is the capital, right? Indonesia. And they have a university called University of Indonesia University. So that's in Jakarta. That's near Jakarta. And so there were scholars came for a little discussion for 2 days on science and the religion. They are all Muslims. Islam, you know, Indonesia is primarily Islamic Muslims. There are 200 million people there, and almost 95% are Muslims. Most of Jakarta, the Indonesia, except Bali. Bali is about 90%. Bali, is, they say Hindu, 90%. But there are only 3 million people in Bali. But you see, the whole Indonesia is 200 million, and Bali 3 million. That is a small section. And in that, they say there are 90% are Hindu oriented. Quite nice in Bali. The devotees are very simple. In Bali, I saw that everything in the city is like it looks like a village also, and it also looks like a town. And because they have field right there in the middle of the city, they have these rice fields, and so it's a little bit unusual. And, looks like Manipur. But I was there for about 10 days. It was quite interesting.
Manipur is very sweet. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Oh, you went there?
Many times.
You were from?
Maybe two, 3 times a year.
Where are you from? You're from?
Oh, where I'm from originally?
Yeah.
Spain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you are Spain?
Your side. Yeah, I go for business. But they are very, very open into Krishna consciousness. Because they are Hindu, but they don't follow the culture, but they don't have much knowledge. So when they hear
Krishna
consciousness, they are very eager to hear more and more and more.
Yeah, that's good. I was happy to see them. And I showed some of their cultures. Like they had the Ramayana regularly. And also I had some devotees who are dancers, Balinese dance. They have very nice customs. And so they showed me some of them. It was quite interesting. Mm-hmm. The devotees were quite enthusiastic. So, alright, then I'll see you tomorrow morning. Everyone is coming tomorrow? Yay, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Jai, new Navadip Dham ke.
Jai.